Give our heart. Jashoda Nandana Pratajana Ranjana Jashoda Nandana Pratajana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Gopi Janavalabha Girvardhari Gopi Janavalabha Girvardhari Jashoda Nandana Bhajajana Ranjana Jashoda Nandana Bhajajana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Rukmini Dwarkadish Rukmini Dwarkadish Rukmini Dwarkadish Rukmini Dwarkadish Jaya Jagannath Jaya Jagannath Jaya Baladeva Jaya Subhadra Jaya Goranitai 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Srila Prabhupada Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribrajak Acharya Asitara Satashri Srimad Iskan BBT Founder Acharya Savayan Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Kija Nitya Lila Pravishta Om Vishnupad Savayan Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Kija Ananta Koti Vaisharabhinda Kija Nam Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kija Prem Sakahosh Krishna Chaitanya Prabhudita Ananda Sri Adaita Gadadhara Shivam Sadi Gaur Bhaktivedanta Kijai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopana Shamakunda Radha Kunda Gira Govardhan Kijai Shri Bhajabhumi Namanam Kijai Shri Nabarit Mayapuradam Kijai Shri Nilachal Jagannath Puradam Kijai Ganga Mai Kijai Jamuna Mai Kijai Bhakti Devi Kijai Shmati Tulsi Maharani Kijai The most beautiful Lordship, Shishukmina Dorkadish ki jai, Shishukmina Dorkanath ki jai, Shishi Jagannath Baladev Subhadra ki jai, Shishi Gornitai ki jai, Samabetha Bhaktarinda ki jai. Going back to home, back to Godhead ki jai, ISKCON Los Angeles Yatra ki jai, Brihad Madanga Chancellor Book Distribution ki jai, International Food for Life Chancellor Prasadam Distribution ki jai, Shri Harinam Sankirtan ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bom. All glories to the assembly devotees. All glories to the assembly devotees. All glories to the assembly devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga glory. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udhirayat. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, let us offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, who is the translator, commentator, and our spiritual master. Nashta prayeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavatyuttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naisiki. By regularly attending the Srimad Bhagavatam class and by rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, whose worship with transcendental songs becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 11, calculation of time from the atoms. And this text today is 35. Purvasyado parardhasya brahmo nama mahan abhut kalpo yatra bhavad brahma shabda prameti yam viduhu purvasyado parardhasya brahmo nama mahan abhut kalpo yatra bhavad brahma shabda prameti yang viduhu purvasyado parardhasya brahmo nama mahan abhut kalpo yatra bhavad brahma shabda prameti yang viduhu purvasyado parardhasya brahmo nama mahan abhut kalpo yatra bhavad brahma shabda brahmeti yang viduhu. Please chant.
Yeah.
Purvasyado parardasya Ramo Rama Purvasyado parardasya Ramo Rama Mahanabhu Kapo yatra bhavad brahma Shabda brahme iti yang viduhu Bhakta ready? Try. Purvasyado parardhasya Ramo nama mahanabhut Kapo yatra bhavad brahma Shabda Brahme Tiyang Viduhu. Very good. Purvasyado Parardasya Brahmo Nama Mahanabhu Kalpo Yatra Bhavad Brahma Shabda Brahme Tiyang Viduhu. By the way, it's not only when you're in class that you can practice. Practice all the time. Pick up the book, see where we are, and read ahead so that when you come to class, you're ready to chant. Hare Krishna. Vaishnavis? Purvasyado parardasya Ramo nama mahanabhut Kalpo yatra bhavad brahma Shabda Brahme Tiyang Viduhu Purvasyado Parardasya Ramo Nama Mahanabhut Kalpo Yatra Bhavad Brahma Shabda Brahme Tiyang Viduhu. Okay, synonyms. Purvasya of the first half. Ado, in the beginning. Parardhasya, of the superior half. Brahmaha, Brahmakalpa. Nama, of the name. Mahan, very great. Abhut, was manifest. Kalpaha, millennium, yatra, whereupon, abhavat, appeared, Brahma, Lord Brahma, shabda Brahma iti, the sounds of the Vedas, yam, which, viduhu, they know. So, Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. In the beginning of the first half of Brahma's life, there was a millennium called Brahmakalpa, wherein Lord Brahma appeared. The birth of the Vedas was simultaneous with Brahma's birth. Please repeat. In the beginning of the first half of Brahma's life, there was a millennium called Brahmakalpa, wherein Lord Brahma appeared. The birth of the Vedas was simultaneous with Brahma's birth. Srila Prabhupada's purport. According to Padma Purana, Prabhasakanda, in 30 days of Brahma, many kalpas take place, such as the Varaha kalpa and Pitri kalpa. 30 days make 1 month of Brahma, beginning from the full moon to the disappearance of the moon. 12 such months complete 1 year, and 50 years complete one parardha, or one half the duration of the life of Brahma. The Sweta Varaha. Let's see, I skipped something here. Let's go back. The Sweta Varaha appearance of the Lord is the first birthday of Brahma. The birth date of Brahma is in the month of March, according to Hindu astronomical calculation. This statement is reproduced from the explanation of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tadamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paschachadeshtarine Om Agyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Stapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sopadantikam Vandeyahang Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Bhutam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purjana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Bhutangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Pancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubha Evacha Patitanang Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gorbhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're hearing about our material existential situation, which we should be interested in. It's like if you move into a house that you didn't build, generally speaking, over time, you want to examine every nook and cranny, every level, every brick practically, just so you know exactly what's going on with this particular residence. Otherwise, you could be in for some very heavy surprises. For instance, one of our devotees bought a house in Denver and went away for quite some time during the winter and had either not examined or forgotten, but the pipes were not properly insulated and they froze and they burst. And the house was practically abandoned. Not practically, it is abandoned. He moved to another place, bought a different house, and he's deciding whether to fix up this house or just knock it down and start again from scratch. So it's always a good idea to know your existential situation, where you're living, what exactly is going on in that neighborhood. Otherwise, again, you could be in for some rude shocks, surprises. So we're hearing about this one universe that we're living in. It is not like the modern scientists say, we think, we believe, perhaps. Prabhupada would make fun of them on a regular basis about that. They're so-called presenting scientific knowledge, and they always have to couch it in those terms. We think, maybe, perhaps. Because they're not sure. They're examining phenomena that are already in motion, things that are already happening, and trying to explain them. So it's not that the phenomena is waiting for your explanation so that it becomes valid. Even something as common as the birth of a child. They are still debating in scientific circles and religious circles, when does life actually begin? Life is going on since time immemorial. Even if you don't accept that it's an eternal phenomena, that life is eternal, still, it's been going on since time immemorial, if you think it started at some point in the past. And they're still debating. But every day, human beings are giving birth to human beings, cats are giving birth to cats, dogs to dogs, goldfish to goldfish. It's going on. It's not waiting for your explanation. This is what they don't understand. They're thinking if we don't examine and we don't explain, then, you know, something is lacking. It's not lacking. It's going on. So they're trying to explain origins. And to this day, they're still using those terms. I'm going to read just a portion of a recent article. There's a website called wired.com. And this is the title of the article. Astronomers may have, this isn't a scientific paper, astronomers may have just spotted the universe's first galaxies. Wow. See, somebody, foolish person will go, wow. But an intelligent person, as soon as you read the title, astronomers may have, that means they may not have. You're presenting something that may not have happened. They may have spotted, just spotted, the universe's first galaxies. So again, an intelligent person understands that those galaxies are existing since time immemorial. And you're saying that you may have spotted them. So come back when you know what you're talking about. Don't interrupt us. Don't bother us. The galaxies are there. There's no debate about that. You're saying you may have spotted the earliest galaxies. Come back when you know for sure. Why are you disturbing us with something that you may know or may not know? So I'll just give you a little bit of what they're presenting as knowledge. Scientists just announced that they've detected what might be some of the earliest galaxies to form in the universe. A tantalizing discovery made thanks to NASA's new flagship James Webb Space Telescope. So, Srila Prabhupada, again, being extremely intelligent as a devotee of the Lord, he told us, this is not knowledge. This is not knowledge. I think, maybe, perhaps. This is not knowledge. They're trying to explain things that are already existing, phenomena that already exist, and they're couching it in these kinds of terms. We think, maybe, perhaps. And then they go on to say, this is the first large sample of candidate galaxies beyond the reach of the Hubble Space Telescope. Astronomer Hao Jingyan said yesterday at a press conference at the American Astronomical Society meeting in Seattle. So they're saying they had the Hubble telescope, which allowed them to see things that happened in the past, but it wasn't that good, which we could have surmised anyway, because it's an instrument that's created by imperfect human beings. It can't be perfect. Now they're saying, but we've surpassed that. Now we have the James Webb Space Telescope, which gives us even more information than what the Hubble did. But it's still not complete. It's still not perfect, because it's made by you. And you're not perfect. So it goes on. You may want to look it up. It's interesting to see where they are and where they're not. While scientists have studied other faraway galaxies that date back, let's see, where are we? To when the universe was still young, the discoveries by Yan and his colleagues could break these records by a few hundred million years or so. Everything is just nebulous. Nothing is solid. A few hundred million years or so. That's a huge gap. Anyway, they go on to say that these galaxies may have emitted light 13.6 billion years ago, likely fairly soon after the young galaxy came together. So, again, it's just all speculation. So, what we're hearing from the Bhagavatam in this section, calculation of time from the atom, is not like that. It's not like that. This knowledge is being presented as it is, and we accept or don't accept. That's up to us. But there's no maybe, I think, perhaps. And Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, yes, you should understand your material existential situation, but beyond that, vyakto vyakta sanatana, that beyond this sometimes manifest, sometimes not manifest material situation, there is a creation that is eternal, it's everlasting. It doesn't come into being and go out of being like the material situation. So that's ultimately what we should be interested in. This is where we came from, that eternal realm. And we should be interested in that. It's not possible, or even if it was possible, as in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, chapter 9, which is entitled Opulences of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya is explaining to Sanatana Goswami, again, about the situation in this material world. But then he goes on to explain that beyond that, there's a spiritual realm. And it's like a lotus. Every single planet in the Vaikuntha realm is unlimited. Wrap your head around that. every single planet is unlimited. But amongst those unlimited planets, there's one supreme planet, Krishna Loka. And even beyond that, it is explained that when Krishna comes to this material world, he comes to Vrindavan. Many of you have been to Vrindavan. Prabhupada explains that that Vrindavan is like 168 square miles. It encompasses those 12 forests, but Vrindavan city is like 32 square miles. And he said in that Boma Vrindavan, all the Vaikuntha planets are there. All those unlimited Vaikuntha planets, each one in itself an unlimited manifestation, all of them are existing in Vrindavan here on this tiny earth planet. So the entirety of Krishna's energy, we can never understand. We can never understand. So we accept the statements of the Shastra as they're presented without any argument. It's foolish to argue because you don't have any evidence beyond to prove. For instance, in these scientific articles, like the one I just read, it's not fully accepted until it goes through what the process was called peer review. So what is peer review? You're a scientist, you think you've discovered something, you present it, and then other scientists look over your data and they say, yes or no, we accept or we don't accept. But who are they? They don't have any ironclad way of proving one way or the other. Again, they're also thinking maybe, perhaps. You see? Because they're using the same instruments. There's nothing solid there. There's nothing solid. So to rest your understanding on this moving target, not solid presentation of so-called science, it's just foolish. So we have to accept, based on the Shastra, that Lord Brahma's month is like this, his year is like that, he's now 50 years old. All of these things we can't prove independently. None of us can prove that independently. Even Lord Brahma himself doesn't know fully what's going on. He only knows what's revealed to him by Krishna. And based on that revealed knowledge, he goes about his service of creating the universe with the ingredients given to him by Krishna. So as tiny little parts and parcels of Krishna, we should not waste our time trying to fully understand what's going on even in this one tiny universe, because we can't. We can't. Even if you could count all the atoms in this one universe, you still don't understand Krishna's situation because he's way, way beyond that. So we become interested more in the eternal realm, the Vaikuntha realm, and the topmost planet in Vaikuntha is Krishna Loka. And Krishna is the supreme manifestation of everything, source of everything. So ultimately our interest should be on Krishna. And this is what we get from studying Krishna's devotees, especially those in Vrindavan. They're not sitting around debating how old is the universe and how many galaxies are within the universe and this and that. They're simply concentrating on Krishna. And therefore, the gopis state, Akshan Matang Paramidam Palamidam Na Paramvidama Sakya Pashun Anamvesha Tayor Vayasya Vaktram Vajesha Sutayo Anavena Jushtam Yarivani Pitam Anarakta Kataksha Moksham. The gopis say that the highest fruit, pala, of the power to see, Akshan Matam Palamidam Na Paramvidama, there's nothing higher to see than Krishna and Balaram every day going out to the forest. Sakya Pashun Anunavesha Tayurvayasa. And they're with their sakis, they're with their sakas, their coward boyfriends, and they're driving the cows before them. Vaktram Vajaisha Sutayu Anuvena Jushtam. So Vraja Isha, who is Vraja Isha, the king of Vrindavan? Nanda Maharaj. So Vaktram Vajaisha Sutayo and his two sons, Krishna and Balaram, and Anubena Jushtam, while they're going, they're playing on flute. Yarivana Pitam Anurakta Kataksha. There is no other manifestation, vision that can defeat that. And our acharyas explain why were they saying that? Because their elders would get on their case for being so much interested in Krishna, but they're saying everybody is attracted by Krishna, so why not us? You see? Everybody's attracted to Krishna. their elders, because some of those gopis were married, they would get on it. You're always Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. So they're saying in this verse, there is no higher object of vision than Krishna. Everybody is attracted to Krishna. So why not us? So we should also ask ourselves, why not us? Why aren't we attracted to Krishna? Why are we, supposing that you still are, more attracted to some material phenomenon, which is just a tiny fraction of Krishna's energy? Whatever we find attractive in this world. And what do we find attractive? Prabhupada pointed out in the first canto that it's not at all surprising that even those who are on the spiritual path sometimes fall down being attracted to wealth, the opposite sex, etc., etc. We still find these things appealing until we get to the point of complete surrender and complete purity. In other words, when the contamination is completely washed away, because it's a contamination. It's just like if you take some iron filings and you wrap them up in mud and you put a magnet, nothing happens. But as soon as you wash away the mud, immediately they're drawn to the magnet. There's no hesitation. They just boom. It's just the nature of iron filings to be attracted to a magnet. Boom. So if we're uncontaminated, we are immediately attracted to Krishna in one form or other. All the other forms are also valid. We're in our sampradaya, we stress Radha Krishna worship, but Lakshmi Narayan, Sitaram, that's also manifestation of Krishna, different manifestations. So every living entity by nature is naturally attracted to one of these forms of Krishna. It's just like the iron filings to the magnet. There's no hesitation. So we need to get back to that state. By following the bhakti process, we become uncontaminated. All the contaminants are removed. And we just naturally are attracted to Krishna. It doesn't mean that we don't see any other manifestation and we're say, get out of my way. You know, not like that. And the classic example is the Pandavas. The Pandavas were obviously, beginning with Arjuna, attracted to Draupadi, and therefore they got her as their wife. And because of the whole battle of Kurukshetra was fought simply to protect the honor of Draupadi, because the Kauravas insulted her, the Pandavas were willing to kill them at that moment. Bhimasena was fuming. He was ready to kill Duryodhana and his brothers, the 99 other brothers, but Yudhisthira was the king, and he said, no, not the right time for fighting. Ultimately, though, the battle was fought to protect Draupadi's honor. Yet, when it came time to go back to Godhead, they didn't even tell Draupadi. The five brothers, they walked out of the palace and they headed for the Himalayas. They were ready to go back to Godhead. Kunti and Draupadi happened to look out the window and see them leaving, and they also decided to go. So in spite of their attraction to Draupadi and in spite of their willingness to die to protect her honor, their attraction was to Krishna, chiefly. That was their, Krishna was their main attractive object. So it should be like that with us. We are, not that we don't see the other phenomenon in this world. Yes, we see each other, we see buildings and cars and everything, but our strongest attraction has to be to Krishna. And that's how we test ourselves. We don't need to be tested by anybody. You just have to see in your own consciousness, what do you think about most? Who do you think about most? Very simple. Who do you think about? Right? There used to be a popular song, who do you love? So who do you love? That's where your attention will go. So it's very, very simple for us to understand that. So today is the disappearance, yeah, of Lochan Das Thakur. And these great personalities, they show us by their own lives where attraction should go. So he was a disciple of Narahari Das Thakur. And he's famous for having written Chaitanya Mangal. There are different biographies or presentations of the life and teachings and activities of Lord Chaitanya. The one that is most famous for us is Chaitanya Charitamrita, written by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And then there is a Chaitanya Bhagavat, written by Lochan Das. Vrindavan Das Thakur. And then there's this Chaitanya Mangal by Lochan Das. So it's recommended to read all three of them. Prabhupada gave us Chaitanya Charitamrita. We know that famous marathon I participated in also. The bulk of it was done in that marathon. Prior to the marathon, there were two volumes, and then the other 15 volumes were done, and plus two volumes of Srimad Bhagavatam for 17 volume marathon. So we should read it. How many of you read Chaitanya Charitamrita from cover to cover? Adi Lila to the end of Anchalila. Yeah. So after reading it, recommendation is read it again and again and again, because there's so much there to, you just can't. For instance, I find myself going back repeatedly to chapter 4 of Adi Lila. There's so much in that chapter that it's just, you know, no matter how many other portions of Chaitanya Charitamrita, I keep coming back to that chapter. There's so much nectar there. And by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, who's known as Patita Pavana, we can gradually become pure enough to understand this. Otherwise, it's not possible. It is stated that by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, even an ignorant child can cross over the ocean of material theories. So many theories are there. It's filled with the crocodiles of so many theories. But by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, even an ignorant child, Bala, can understand Krishna. So it's not by our own strength. We have to always try our best to receive the mercy of the Lord through the Lord's devotees. And by their mercy, even an ignorant child or even the most contaminated personalities, like Jagai Madai, the story was told recently, can. But the Lord's mercy goes to those who are innocent. In other words, one can find oneself innocently in a situation where you're doing all kinds of sinful activities. But the test is when somebody who's in knowledge comes along and tells you, don't do that, it's not good for you, it's not good for anybody else, then you will stop. That's the proof of innocence. If you don't stop, if you argue, just like there's so many people eating meat, and there was an experiment done where if you take just any meat eater off the street and you show them a film of how the animals are slaughtered, if they're actually innocent, they will stop immediately. Oh my God, I didn't know that. And it's a fact, they don't know. Most of them, they go to the supermarket, they buy a piece of meat wrapped up in, you know, some plastic, and they go home and cook it, and because they were raised that way. But when they're shown how that meat was obtained, the innocent among them will stop. But even some of them who are innocent, more or less, they're so contaminated and so attached that they need a process. And that's where the chanting of Hare Krishna comes in. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Iti Shodashaka Nam Nam Kali Kalmashanashanam. This is what Lord Brahma says. That these 16 names, they have the power to break the grip of Kali. What is Kali's grip? Meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, gambling. Iti Shodashaka Nam Nam Kali Kalmashanashanam. And he says, if you study all the Vedas, which is full of so many mantras and processes, you won't find anything that's more powerful than this. So that's what we've been given. This chanting of Hare Krishna we've been given to break Kali's grip on us. And when we feel that grip completely broken or at least slackening, then we can have enough confidence to give it to others. And there was a lady who used to come to the Sunday feast, not here in New York. And she would come, chant, dance, and then after the kirtan, go around the corner and smoke a cigarette. The audience would notice. So they noticed after time that she stopped doing that. So they asked, wow, you gave up your cigarette smoking? She said, yes. She said, yes. It gradually dawned on me that this tongue that I'm using to chant Krishna's name and to eat Krishna's prasadam, I'm contaminating with cigarettes. I just had to stop. And obviously Krishna gave her the strength to do so. The desire has to be there. Now, some people don't understand how this works or why it works. For instance, Prabhupada made a statement that we are neither vegetarian or non-vegetarian. We are devotees of Krishna. So some overly intelligent person thought, well, you know, I want to be a devotee, but they're insisting that I stop eating meat. But Prabhupada said we're neither vegetarian nor non-vegetarian. We are devotees of Krishna. Yeah, but to become a devotee of Krishna, Prabhupada pointed out, we give Krishna what he wants to eat. And Krishna says, patram pushyam palam toyam. He never says, give me goat prasadam or chicken prasadam. No. Patram pushyam palam toyam. So we have to give Krishna what he wants to eat. That's what makes us Krishna devotees. We're not insisting necessarily this way or that way, but we give Krishna what he wants. Now, there's one exception that I know of. There was a gentleman, older Indian gentleman in Canada, I don't remember if it was Montreal or Toronto, one of those Canadian cities. And after some time, he had been coming. And after some time, Prabhupada asked him, why aren't you coming forward for initiation? He said, well, Swamiji, because in those days they were still calling Prabhupada Swamiji. Swamiji, I have one bad habit that I can't break. And because of that, I can't get initiated. So Prabhupada, what is that? I'm addicted to tea. My whole life I've been drinking tea. And you say no coffee, tea. And I can't. So Prabhupada, in your case, it's all right. But it doesn't mean that now everybody has a license to drink tea. That one particular case, Prabhupada made an exception. And it was for tea, not for meat or fish or eggs or something like that. But generally speaking, if you want to come forward for initiation, you have to be ready to give up those four bad habits. And Krishna will give you the strength to do so. Krishna will give you the strength. The chanting of Hare Krishna, coming in contact with Krishna, the supreme purifying agent, will give us the strength to follow the four regulative principles, and above that, to chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama, according to a fixed count, not whimsically, not some days 4 rounds, some days 64 rounds, no, 16 rounds minimum. And if we do that, we get the strength to break this grip of Kali, to start to understand our material existential situation, and beyond that, to begin to understand the eternal spiritual realm. So we'll stop here. Granta Rashimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhaktivrinda Ki Jai.